But now we'll hand over to Laura Sowell, who brings us some explosive chemistry experiments from Brighton University's Dr. Hal.
Recently, the Naked Scientists were visited by Dr. Hal and his assistant Dave Campbell from the University of Brighton. They stopped by to show us some of the amazing experiments they've been demonstrating on their Ministry of Chemistry tour. First up, Dr. Hal grabbed a handful of solid carbon dioxide and dropped it into a bucket of water.
Here, Dave, we've got a gas. No, it's a gas. It thinks it's a solid. Carbon dioxide, solid CO2 at minus 78. It's a solid. It doesn't turn into a liquid. It turns straight into a gas. Look at that, shooting right up there. And what that's showing us is that gases occupy much more space than the solids which gave rise to them. We can see here that the solid's turning straight to a gas. It's going straight from solid to gas. You can see the balls of gas coming from the bits of solid. And you can also see that one mole of gas occupies far more space than one mole of solid.
We saw huge plumes of carbon dioxide gas pumping out from the water, all from just a handful of solid carbon dioxide, subliming to produce much more gas than its volume as a solid. This happens because the molecules in a gas are free to move around, rather than being locked tightly together. But carbon dioxide gas is colourless and transparent, so the white, smoky plume we could see was actually something else.
Now, the white smoke you can see coming out, that's actually water vapour. The CO2's propelling out the water vapour because it's still so cold, having come out of the hot water, so we are making real clouds. And where are they going, Dave?
They're going down.
Yeah, yep. The clouds are going right down, proving that CO2 is denser than air. Now, the other interesting property of CO2 is that we use it as a fire extinguisher. OK, Dave, can you just light that splint for me? Dave's just lit a nice wooden splint, and I'm putting it into the CO2 smoke, and the flame goes straight out.
In order for something to burn, it requires a fuel. In this case, it was some wood. And it requires an oxidizer, in this case, oxygen from the air. By submerging the flame in the carbon dioxide gas, it was deprived of oxygen, stopping it from burning. More carbon dioxide coming up. But first, they looked at the properties of liquid nitrogen. Unlike carbon dioxide, if you cool nitrogen gas to minus 196 degrees Celsius, it turns into a liquid.
We've got some liquid nitrogen here, and we're going to do the old liquid nitrogen light bulb. Nitrogen is an inert gas, which means, although this looks suicidally stupid, I am indeed putting a light bulb into liquid nitrogen, and I am going to turn it on. And what's going to happen is, I hope the light bulb will glow in the beautiful liquid nitrogen and make lots of bubbles. And we can even get a rise in the number of bubbles produced as we turn the power up.
We would never recommend you put a light bulb or any electrical equipment into a liquid. But because nitrogen doesn't conduct electricity, Dr. Hal was safe. Turning the power up gave the light bulb more energy, which caused the nitrogen around it to boil more vigorously, creating more bubbles. Next, Dr. Hal did something that seemed even more stupid.
So, now we've got a light bulb with no glass, because we broke the glass, which has got the filament, which is made of tungsten. And light bulbs normally have an inert gas atmosphere, like argon.
Yes, yes.
Because if you heat up tungsten till it's red hot in air, it, of course, oxidises and a light bulb burns out. And we've got liquid nitrogen, which is, of course, air without the oxidant. And I'm going to put our light bulb without the glass into it and turn it on. And I think we can all see, and hopefully the listeners can hear, that the bulb is glowing in our liquid nitrogen, but more importantly, it's not burning out.
That is truly amazing.
Yes.
That is amazing. I mean, I can't...
And we are bright sparks.
We certainly are.
And if it goes wrong, it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Should we leave all the electricity puns out?
I think we should, yeah.
Right, OK, so what we'll do is just pull this out and illustrate our theory that when I pull it out, it's going to glow for a little while and then it's going to go out by itself.
So, in the liquid nitrogen, which doesn't react with other chemicals, the tungsten filament can become glowing hot with no ill effects, just like it would do in the argon gas inside a bulb. Once the filament is exposed to the air, however, it reacts with oxygen and quickly burns out. Dr. Hal's explosive finale this week takes us back to solid carbon dioxide and the consequences of warming it up in a sealed container.
What we've got here, lemonade bottles.
Yep.
Polyethylene terephthalate, designed to withstand the internal pressure of carbonated drinks. These can withstand about 6 atmospheres. We've got lots of technology in them. They've got little grooves in the thread so that the lid doesn't pop into your eye when you open it up. And I was thinking to myself, what would happen if we put some carbon dioxide in, which sublimes, as we all know, turns from a solid to a gas.
Straight to a gas, yeah.
With some boiling water and put the lid on and ran away. What do you think is going to happen? I think the CO2 is going to sublime, and we've already worked out that one mole of a gas occupies much more than a mole of solid, so I think it's going to have a big old bang. Now, these bottles withstand about 6 atmospheres. CO2 can produce, under certain circumstances, 50 atmospheres. So it'll be a case of CO2 1, bottle nil. So what I'm doing is I'm putting CO2 chips into the bottle. And the problem we're going to have is, as soon as we put the boiling water in to sublime the CO2, the gas is going to try and get out. So we have to use our ingenious long-stemmed funnel and a kettle of boiling water. And what's going to happen is the water's going to splash around. Dave and I will get third-degree scald, but as long as the naked scientist listeners get what they want, that's OK by us.
I think things are going to get exciting.
So let's remind everyone what's going on. We've got a lemonade bottle with about full of solid CO2. We're about to put in 2 litres of boiling water, and then we're going to put the lid on and see what happens. Let nature take its course. What do you think, Dave?
Okay.
Okay, 3, 2, 1. In you go, Dave.
We're going. I'm pouring.
Okay. Oh. Big white fumes coming out, hissing away. Keep going, Dave.
I'm pouring.
Keep going, Dave. It's breaking up, Dave.
No, I can't see.
I can't hold it together, Dave. Keep it going.
I'm pouring.
Pouring. Come
it's
on.
It's difficult to see.
Keep it going, Dave. Nearly there.
You sure?
Yeah.
Keep pouring.
Water's full. You're doing well, Dave. Keep it going.
I'm pouring. I'm still pouring.
Okay, stop there, Dave.
Okay.
And we'll take the funnel out. Okay. All right, Dave, ready on the chill? Okay, fingers in your ears, audience at home. Ready, Dave? There we go. Big bang. CO2 for you. Oh, Dave. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh,
yes.
Once again.
Yes,
CO2.
Yeah, it was... Oh. She comes up with the goods every time, though.
She does, yeah. I hope that ship has pie in my trousers.
And while that enormous bang echoed through the corridors of Cambridge University's pathology department, Dave and Dr. Howe were already preparing next week's explosive experiments. We'll be blowing up hydrogen balloons, exploding ostrich eggs, and hearing the ear-splitting woof of the barking dog. That's coming up next week.
That was Laura Soule with Dr. Howe and his assistant, Sideshow Dave. Next week's instalment promises to be particularly explosive.
I'm afraid that's it for all our best bits, but tune in next week when Diana and Mira will be taking you through their favourites. They'll be parajetting over Everest, swallowing swords, and investigating a Greek brothel.
Well, I'll have to look out for that one. A big thank you to everyone who contributed to this week's show and to our production team. That's Mira Senthilingam, Diana O'Carroll, Laura Soule, Chris Smith and Tom Simpkins. If you want to get in touch, then you can email chris@thenakedscientist.com, and we'll be back with brand new kitchen science experiments very soon. Do join Diana and Mira next week, but for now, goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.